I'd like to invite you, if I may, to please take your Bible and open it to, here we are, there it is, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. At this reading, some are prone to ask, now, is it really necessary that we assemble with the church? I mean, why do we do such a thing? And if we are, it is a necessity, how often do we have to assemble? Just Sunday morning? And these questions are pretty important. We want to address them, though, from not just our idea or our opinion, but address them from the scriptures in this lesson. Now, according to Matthew 22 and verse 37, we know that it's our duty, according to Jesus, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, that those who are really, who love the Lord with all their heart and all their mind and soul are really not the ones who are questioning the need for assembling with the church. In fact, they're indicating heart trouble. And that's what we're concerned about, is it is a problem of the heart whenever somebody tries to find out how few assemblies they can assemble. Now, the problem of poor attendance has become so common that many denominations and some of my liberal brethren have resorted to gimmicks. And these gimmicks are designed to get people in the building. They offer everything from popcorn to coffee and donuts and board games and everything under the sun. But according to the scriptures, God is the one who does the drawing. God draws men. And how does he do it? He does that by the gospel. Look at what Jesus said now in John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And of course, we know that the Apostle Paul said very clearly that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation in Romans 1. And verse 16, there's no justification for gimmicks in order to get people to come and hear the gospel preached. Now, those who are members of this congregation who attend regularly need to be commended for their efforts. And those who would attend more often if their health permitted should also be commended. But our attention in this lesson is directed to the questions concerning whether or not attendance is necessary, and if so, how often. First of all, let's consider the question, why is it necessary to assemble? Well, the first reason is that whenever we do not assemble, commands are broken. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, first and most apparent is the command to assemble, which we read from Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Now, while it is worded negatively, it is a command nonetheless. But there's also the command to observe the Lord's Supper. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the cup of the new covenant.'" "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now, it is apparent from the context that the church in Corinth had a place to assemble from verse 18. Notice in verse 18, "When you come together as a church." And verse 20, "When you come together in one place." Then in verse 33, Paul says, "When you come together to eat, wait for one another." And we have an example of the church in Troas meeting to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Now, whenever we don't assemble with the church, we cannot fulfill this command in the manner prescribed in the New Testament. Also, whenever we fail to assemble, we do not give as we have been prospered. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, Paul told the brethren in Corinth on the first day of the week, "Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up, as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Now, failing to do this as a result of not assembling is a sin of omission, which James very plainly tells us in James 4:17, "To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Assembling together is also necessary for spiritual development. Paul wrote in Romans 14 and verse 19, "Therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things whereby which are by which one may be edified or may edify another." Now, how can we edify another? Well, by our coming together to worship and study from God's word. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you were also doing." Our spiritual development is necessary for us to do as the inspired writer said we should do in Hebrews 5 and verse 12. "For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Spiritual development, is not an option. It is necessary. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." Now, I want you to think about what is said here. This is a command. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a command. And it must be obeyed if we love the Lord. Keep that in mind. Also, it's necessary for proper functioning of the local church for us to assemble on regular occasions. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 and down through verse 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Now notice, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, think about it. How can we do this without meeting and working together? Now, think about this scenario. If one can stay home for no good reason, why not everybody? I mean, after all, Peter said in Acts 10, verse 34, that God shows no partiality. You know, the story is told about old Brother Tant. Of course, Brother Tant was actually he was a farmer. But he ran a farm and preached the gospel both and traveled all over the country. And Brother Tant went to hold a meeting in a town for a couple of weeks. And that was very common. Of course, now, you know, they're narrowing meetings down to 3 days. And they used to be 4, 2, and 3 weeks. But anyway, it seems that on Sunday, the building was nearly full. Now, on Monday, only about half of the members were there. Come Tuesday, about half of the members were not there. So Wednesday evening, the time came for the meeting to begin, and Brother Tant wasn't there. And a couple of the men went to his hotel room, found him sitting there and reading from his Bible. They said, "Brother Tant, it's time for the meeting to start." And he said, "Well, I figured that since half of the members stayed home on Monday and Tuesday, it was my turn to stay home tonight." Now think about it. Just think about it. If everyone attended the assemblies of the church as often as I do, and that's saying you, me, all of us, would there be any reason to open the building more than once a week? Have you ever stopped to think? Now, while you're pondering that, have you ever stopped to think about the fact that every parable that Jesus taught concerning judgment contains condemnation for sins of omission rather than sins of commission? Just think about it. The marriage feast, failing to wear a wedding garment. The 10 virgins, failing to prepare. The sheep and goats, failing to be benevolent to our brothers. The rich farmer, failing to make preparation for eternity. If the local church is to function properly, it will be the result of every member individually doing their part. Also, it's necessary if we're to have a good influence on others. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 14 that you are the light of the world. A city sat on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, I want you to think about this. Even in the world, people who attend some church, be it the Lord's church or otherwise, are respected by others. But non-attendance tells others that we don't really believe the church is very important, and that worshiping God is not one of the priorities in our life. You know, you will never be able to influence your friends, your neighbors, or the members of your family to become Christians by being haphazard in your attendance. But some want to know, when are Christians to assemble? And at this point, most will agree that Sunday morning is a time when we should assemble. But what's interesting about that is, doing a little bit of reading in the history of the church shows us that early Christians met early on Sunday morning, went to work, then came back and met again in the evening. Why did they do that? Well, Sunday was a work day. It was not a day off, as most people view it today. Now, what about this? Well, what Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and verse 41 is not just doing enough to get by, going the extra mile. But even if the command to assemble were only to include Sunday, it would include all of Sunday. And indeed it did in the first century. But what's happened with some today? Some have turned the Lord's day into the Lord's hour, if that. If that depends on how long-winded the preacher might be. But this is something to think about. Something to think about. Now, when are Christians to assemble? Well, Christians are presented before us as the flock of God in such passages as Acts 20 and verse 28 and 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Now, whenever it's feeding time, it is the duty of the flock to be where the food is being served. When is that? Well, this is the duty of the congregation to determine the times that are most expedient for the members, when the members are expected to put their priorities in order so they can be there. Now, sheep who miss feeding time after time after time eventually get sick and weak and die. And that is the facts. If one is attending less and less and less, pretty soon they're not attending at all. Now, our assembly needs to be done to view, with a view to doing that which is good in the sight of God. Now, think about this. In Hebrews 10 and verse 24, we're told to consider one another, to stir up love and good works. This is in the context of the command to assemble. And Paul instructed us in Titus 3 and verse 1 to be ready for every good work. Now, I want you to think about this. Our Bible studies, good works. Is it good to study the Bible? Well, certainly it is. Is it good to worship God? Yes, it's good. Are gospel meetings good works? Well, of course, they are. Well, we are to be ready for every good work. We're to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, which one of these assemblies is not good? Now, if any of them are not good, we better stop having them. And if they are good, we all need to be a part of them. And you know, as parents, we talked recently about the responsibility of parents. But as parents, we have a duty to bring our children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's according to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And here is an excellent opportunity to teach our children the ways of the Lord. Have them in Bible studies where they can receive instruction, and then having them in the assemblies for worship. That is training. That is training opportunities. Christians, those really converted to Christ, will have an attitude that says, how often can I assemble? Rather than, how little can I get by with? And you can see the difference in this, can't you? There is a difference. Whenever we fail to assemble as the Bible directs, we sin. And what must we do about that? We must repent. James tells us in James 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Now the Greek words used in this text point to sin being a sin that is known by others, and we are to ask for their prayers that we might be restored to good spiritual health. And assembling together makes such a prayer possible. But some will offer excuses for not attending. One says, oh, I had such a bad headache. And that's possible. That is possible. It does happen. But what if there was something that you really wanted to do? And such a headache came along. Would you take some aspirin and go anyway? Why not do the same when it's time to worship God? Dear ones, if God were to make some people as sick as they say they are, I fear that many would die. But another says, well, honestly, I just don't like the preacher. Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I want you to keep this in mind. We do not meet to worship the preacher. We meet to worship God. That is what's important, to worship God. The preacher is merely preaching God's word. But someone else comes along and says, well, you know, I'd be there. But you know, just as I was leaving, company came. Now, I want you to read from Hebrews 10:25. And I want you to notice it does not say, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, except when company comes. Does anybody out there have a version that says that? No, I don't think so. You know, we have to understand that there are priorities in our life. And what do you teach your company whenever you stay home, whenever they come in a time when you're supposed to be assembling with the saints? You don't think they know you're staying home? Yes, they do know. Yes, they know. And they know that you have placed them in a position higher than God. Think seriously about it. Let's think about this attitude that should be a part of our way of thinking. In John 4:23-24, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And he says, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Our purpose in meeting together is to worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. Now, what should be our attitude towards the assemblies of the church? Well, I want you to think about this with me. Whenever someone says it's time to go to worship, do we say, oh, do I have to go? Is that our attitude? Or are we like David in Psalm 122 and verse 1 when he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I'm going to grant you, I know that David is talking about the temple or the tabernacle, either one. He's talking about worshiping God in a physical place. But what's the house of God today? What's the church? We just talked about that in our lesson this morning. Now, what is it that is our attitude? I was glad when they said to me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Is this your attitude? Is this the way you consider assembling with the saints? Well, if it's not, it seriously should be. We need to ponder these thoughts and give them serious consideration. We need to be sure that we have the right attitude towards worshiping God. How often can I assemble? That's what our question should be. Not how often do I have to assemble?